This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Chicago.
Always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Check this out.
Good morning and welcome on in. Tyler Aki and Shay Norling. Shay's got the morning off. He'll be with you for a little White Sox Weekly coming up at 10:30 as the Sox take on the Cardinals. We're with you until 8:30 this morning. Then it's the CDGA Golf Show. Talking with you, 312-332-3776. We've got Justin Pottinger with us as well. And I do want to start today with the Chicago Bears, because the draft is officially in the books. You look at any sort of post-draft rankings or grades or whatever, whoever you ask, it feels like the Chicago Bears won the draft. Obviously, Caleb Williams, there was no doubt that that was ever going to be the pick. And then everything that sort of came along after that built towards the Bears feeling like big winners coming out of the NFL draft. Whether it was Roma Dunze falling to them at number 9, that's a pick that I'm very excited to see play out because of the fact that Roma Dunze was one of my favorite receivers to watch in college, the way that he helped that Washington offense. And that was a good Washington wide receiver room. And the way that he went about everything, his demeanor through everything, I think you can already tell there's a certain maturity to him. And he's going into the best possible situation that any rookie receiver can be dropped into. You know, a lot of people have talked about how the quarterback, Caleb Williams, is going into the best situation a number one overall pick has ever been dropped into. But when you look at all of the rookie receivers in this year's class, Roma Dunze is being dropped into the perfect situation for a couple of reasons. You look at A, not a lot of pressure for him to go out and light the world on fire as a rookie because, well, you've got two guys who are capable of getting you 1,200 yards in front of you on the depth chart. And not just that, but is there anyone that you would rather drop a rookie trying to find his way in the league into a room than with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen? Not only are they excellent technicians at the craft, not only are they not going to be a problem in your locker room, but those are the type of guys who are take them under your wing guys and can show them the ropes. And that kind of leads me into where I want to start today with Keenan Allen. Because Keenan Allen traded for a fourth round pick earlier in the offseason by Ryan Poles, and there's a lot of excitement, and rightfully so, surrounding the Bears trading for an all-pro caliber receiver, Pro Bowl caliber receiver, a guy who is a true difference maker in the league, a guy who has had staying power in this league because of the way that he just knows how to play the position, right? It kind of reminds me of a guy in basketball who has a shot. If you can shoot in basketball, there's a place for you in the league for a long time. Keenan Allen has a way to stick in this league for a long time, and it's because of how he knows how to play the position. Now, injuries are always going to be a part of the formula with Keenan Allen, but that's something that you attack once you get into the season. And Keenan Allen, when the trade was made with the Chargers to land Keenan Allen, I was wondering how long for the Bears is Keenan Allen? Is this going to be a guy who's going to come in here and be someone who is an immediate impact, but maybe is just a one-year type of guy for the Bears? Or is Keenan Allen going to be a guy who is going to be traded for, come into this wide receiver room alongside DJ Moore and whoever else at the time? It was Tyler Scott and Velus Jones, and now it's Roma Dunze. Is he going to be dropped in and sort of parachute in for 1 year, and maybe it's a little bit more of a go-for-it year right out of the gate with a rookie quarterback than maybe you anticipated leading into the draft? But the Bears landing Keenan Allen, is this going to be a long-term deal for Keenan Allen? And when I say long-term, he's up there in age, but can he hang around for 2-3 years? And be a part of your window that is opening to go out and try to compete for the NFC North, for the NFC Championship, and ultimately a Super Bowl. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here, if you've got thoughts on Keenan Allen, and this is the interesting thing about all of the Keenan Allen contract negotiations and stuff like that. Ryan Poles was on the station earlier this week, general manager of the Chicago Bears, and he talked about Keenan Allen and where his contract talks are at this moment.
We're just going to, you know, keep it moving through the season and see how everything plays out. There isn't a sense of urgency there right now, but we'll see how everything kind of unfolds as we get into the season.
So you want him to play here before you engage in any sort of contract talks?
Yeah. We have a good relationship with the agent and have had some conversations that I'll keep private, but both sides are in a good spot.
And I thought that was an interesting follow-up there by Sylvie, talking about how he wants to see Keenan Allen play a little bit first before anything gets made and any sort of contract, deep contract negotiations are made. And I really look at the Rome Odunze pick and how that could impact the future of Keenan Allen as a Chicago Bear. If Rome Odunze goes out there and looks comfortable, looks the most NFL ready out of any of the rookie receivers from day one, then maybe there's not as much of a need for Keenan Allen long term, because you know that in this league, I mean, you look across it right now and you need multiple weapons to catch the football for you. And that can include the tight end position. And I think the Bears right now have four true pass catchers that are difference makers on the field, with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, and then you lump Cole Kmet into that group as well. I think there are four genuine difference makers on this team. And not a lot of teams across the league can say the same. Now, the Chicago Bears, are they going to have staying power to have these level of weapons long-term with Caleb Williams? At a certain point, Caleb Williams is going to have to elevate some other players around him. Caleb Williams is going to have to bring along guys like Tyler Scott, like Velus Jones, in a way that we didn't see the previous quarterback, Justin Fields, do for this receiver room. And I look at everything that has been poured in, all the resources that have been poured in, and it's going to be go time for the Chicago Bears from a very, very early stage. And I look at everything that is put into place right now. There's no reason why this team, if Caleb Williams can play at a rookie of the year level, which he is the favorite to do, by the way, and it's by a pretty significant margin. If you've checked out any of the odds for rookie of the year, Caleb Williams is a 2-1 favorite to win rookie of the year. Now, number one overall pick, especially when it's a quarterback, the expectation is that you are going to be playing rookie of the year level football, especially if you're being dropped into a situation like Caleb Williams is right now with the Chicago Bears. Like, you look at everything that, whether it's his odds for rookie of the year, whether it's his over-under total for his passing yards, there's pretty lofty expectations for what the rest of the league and the rest of the world is expecting out of Caleb Williams in year one. And I think it's largely due to the fact that not only is he a guy that's been billed as this every so often type of talent, you don't get a lot of guys of his caliber in the draft year after year. There's a reason why Sean Payton years ago thought that they may implement a lottery system for this year's draft, because of the fact that Caleb Williams is that big of a difference maker in the eyes of a lot of talent evaluators. But I look at what Caleb Williams has to be for this team to get into the playoffs, and I don't think it's that significant of a leap. If the Chicago Bears, with all of this weaponry, listen, this is one of the 3 to 5 best set of weapons in the entire NFL right now, with Keenan, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift out of the backfield, Cole Kmet at the tight end position. And that's with a quarterback who is expected to give your franchise a significant jolt and a significant leap. And I think that if if Caleb Williams just plays at a rookie of the year level, and that's not asking him to go out and set the world on fire. No, it's what he's favored to do for the upcoming season. The Chicago Bears are going to find themselves in a great spot because the defense, especially once Montez Sweat was added to the mix last year, was playing at a playoff level. It looked good. Everything about what the Bears were doing last year in the final eight or so weeks of the season, it gave them a shot with a couple of weeks left to potentially be a playoff team, albeit a touch of a long shot. But they were in the mix. They were in the conversation. They were a team that, if a couple things break right for them, they've got a chance to actually get into the playoffs, and ultimately it would come down to maybe the Green Bay game. Now, some things didn't break their way. The collapse against Cleveland wasn't good. That kind of shot everything out the window there. But there was opportunity with that defense last year. The defense was playing at a top 10 level, a playoff caliber level. It just was the offense could not keep up and score as many points. And I think that the defensive infrastructure, when you talk about building with a quarterback and putting a rookie quarterback in a great situation, part of putting a rookie quarterback in a position to succeed is not asking them to go out and score 31 points for you. Part of putting a rookie quarterback in a great situation is asking that quarterback to, hey, if you can get us 20, our defense will put us in a good position to win. But I think we're past the days of watching Bears football on Sundays and feeling lucky if we get 17 points. Feeling lucky if there's multiple touchdowns in the game. It feels like those days are a thing of the past because there is a quarterback that is in place. There is infrastructure around him that's in place. There is a defense that can hopefully live up to the billing that it played to last year. There's a lot to be optimistic about right now if you're the Chicago Bears. And if you look around the division, like we talked a little bit about this last week, Shay and I, about who is the envy of the NFC North right now. I still think it's, and we're talking from a long-term standpoint, I still think it is the Green Bay Packers because the history's there, the track record of developing quarterbacks, and you look at the long-term health and chemistry between quarterback and head coach, it's the strongest in Green Bay right now. But the ceiling for the Chicago Bears is higher than any of these other teams because of the potential you've got at the quarterback position. And it doesn't really matter if Keenan Allen is a Chicago Bear for 1 year, 3 years, 2 years. Doesn't really matter. Because it looks like whenever Keenan Allen may walk out the door for this team, and the way that Ryan Poles sort of talked about it with Waddle and Sylvie earlier in the week, I would guess that day is sooner rather than later. Just kind of the feel I got after hearing Poles talk about it. To me, the Bears are going to be in a good position to win whether or not Keenan Allen is long for this team. Because it does feel like you went out, you got another franchise receiver, you went out and you're building something around this team right now. And it feels to me like the Bears, because of the way that they've constructed through the draft, feels like they've been pretty smart with the way that they've gone about roster construction. It feels like this team is set up to have a runway for a long time, maybe even a decade. And I'm not saying it's going to be a decade of dominance because there are some really good teams in the NFC North. The Lions have been set up for long-term success, and you're starting to see a lot of the fruits of the labor pay off in the way of extensions. Now, we saw a bunch of Lions get their extensions, not the quarterback yet, but that could be on the way as well. And then the Packers, they're a team that had the youngest snap-adjusted roster in football last year. So you put all that together, you've got a Chicago team with an up-and-coming defense and a quarterback that they're hoping for the first time is the answer. And it feels like maybe this is the time that things are right. You know, you want to know something weird that I thought about too? Does anybody remember what draft day and what the day after was sort of like weather-wise in this city. You know how they say it's good luck when it rains at your wedding? Because it kind of washes away all the bad luck. Anyone remember that there was a lot of rain? A lot of rain in Chicago those 2 days. And it felt like it was going to wash away 100-plus years of bad quarterback play. That's the way I sort of felt. I don't know about you, Potsy, but...
A little good luck coming our way.
Hopefully this is washing away 100-plus years of bad quarterback play. You want to join us? 312-332-3776. You know what's been hot in the group chat lately? Punter talk. And Justin Pottinger and I could not be on more opposite ends of it. We'll discuss all that when we come back here. Tyler Aki, no Shane Orling today. He'll be with you for White Sox Weekly coming up at 10:30. It's ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shane on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Got the morning off. He'll be with you for White Sox Weekly coming up in about 2 hours and 10 minutes. Tyler Aki with you here for another 10 or so minutes. Then it's the CDGA Golf Show. Thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. Ryan Poles, all right, this has been the most controversial pick, and boy, people have planted their flags on both sides of this thing. Ryan Poles in the fourth round selected Torrey Taylor, the punter out of Iowa. And this is a pick that I think a lot of the fan base was very excited for. Not often you get very excited for a punting pick, but it was one that really jacked up some of the fan base. And then another portion of the fan base, I don't think nobody hates the prospect. Nobody hates the player. But a lot of people, I feel like, don't like the strategy. They don't like the optics of the Bears going out and drafting a punter in the fourth round because of the fact that there still are holes on this roster and there's stuff that needs to be filled. But this was Ryan Poles a little bit earlier in the week with Waddle and Sylvie talking about selecting Torrey Taylor in the fourth round.
When you actually watch the tape, you understand this different type of punter in terms of what he can do for your team. A lot of times I talk about multipliers, offense or defense. This is a multiplier for your entire, you know, squad. So if that's pinning, you know, the opposing offense inside the 10-5-yard line, man, it's going to be difficult against that defense to drive the entire field. And I've talked about it too. It's disheartening. I mean, you know, if you're an offensive guy running on the field to start a drive like that, it's very disheartening when it happens over and over and over again. It's like you can't breathe. And then for those times we need to flip the field, and maybe it's a tough start, some things go wrong, and we got to flip the field to keep points off the board. He can do that too. I've talked about he's got a golf bag, it's a right leg. He's got a driver, he's got a 60-degree wedge. Whatever you need, he's got it. So I just thought he was a rare talent. I get it, the punter in the fourth, but again, I think it's going to be a multiplier for this football team and help us win in many different phases.
So that was Ryan Poles talking about selecting Torrey Taylor in the fourth round. And listen, it's not what I would have done, because I think this team still needs some help on the edge, still needs some help on certain depth pieces across the offensive line and in other areas. Like, the fourth round, to me, is where you maybe find some gems, and if you maybe find a piece that can be a guy that can step in and help out with injuries, because it's football, and specifically with this offensive line, we've seen a number of injuries with it. I mean, we don't know exactly where the center position is going. You've brought in a couple of options for next year, but none of those guys that you brought in have solidified themselves as the dude, the guy that's going to start at center. Your left tackle went on IR last year for a portion of the season and missed time. You have still some interior pieces who, while they've had some good moments as Chicago Bears, it wasn't like they were the most dependable health-wise, that being Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis. And Darnell Wright was fantastic last year as a rookie, but he dealt with some injuries, played through them, but he dealt with some injuries. And I just feel like the offensive line is something that when you invest heavily in a quarterback, I'm not saying that the Chicago Bears needed to go out and find a starter in the fourth round or at any portion of this year's draft on the offensive line, but I do think you needed depth pieces. And I know they got one in the third round, but there are still other areas that this team needed to attack. And I think the defensive side of the ball, I know they went out and got Austin Booker. That's the guy that I probably would have liked them to select in the fourth round. They end up trading back into the fifth round to go out and get him. And so at the end of the day, it's not the worst thing in the world. But I look at what this team needs defensively. There's still some pieces along that defensive line that could be upgraded. And I think it's worth taking a flyer for whether it's a rotational defensive edge rusher or it's an interior guy or it's on the offensive line. I still think that was a time to maybe go out and make a move like that. You know what else I could have also seen happen? I could have also seen you go out in the fourth round and draft a running back as well. Just keep cycling through running backs and hope one day one of these guys is the guy that goes out and hits for you. Like, that's where you go out and select a running back. The fourth round. A punter, to me, Tom Waddles used the word arrogant. It kind of felt like a pick that you look at this, you look at where the Chicago Bears team is right now, they were not a punter away. And you look at last year, how many games were lost because of the punter? I can't remember any. This team lost 10 games last year. I can't single one out and say it was because of the punter. I don't recall that ever happening, and maybe my memory is going on me, and I just don't remember it, but this team was not a punter away from being a playoff team. This team still needs reinforcements along the defensive line, still needs reinforcements along the offensive line. The fourth round is where you find your depth, and maybe once in a while you hit and find a diamond in the rough as well. I don't understand the punter pick, but Potsy, you were all over this. You loved the pick.
I was all for it.
Listen, the player's great.
Yeah.
But the margin for error, if he is not a 10-year guy with the Bears, a 10-plus-year punter with the Chicago Bears, and isn't going to Pro Bowls and making all-pro teams, then the pick is a dud. It misses. And I think the margin for error, another guy, if he was to go and if Poles were to go out and draft an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, all he has to do is see the end of his contract and makes some meaningful contributions along the way for it to be a success. The bar for this pick to be successful with Torrey Taylor is extremely high. Mm-hmm. He has to be a multi-time Pro Bowl caliber punter.
And I honestly think he has that in him. Well, first of all, I just want to appreciate the fact that we're sitting here debating a punter right now. I mean, for months, dude, we're talking about Fields, Caleb, trading back. We're talking a punter right now. So let's just get that out of the way. That's awesome, first of all.
Is it?
Dude.
Is it really awesome?
I think it is. I think it's like this whole city, we're finally on the same team for once, and we're here debating a punter. Bottom line, though. Austin Booker, I want to start there because when we first selected Taylor, man, I was confused. I really was. I wanted Austin Booker. We ended up trading for later, about 22 picks, 20 picks later, grabbed Booker, and I felt so much more safe about the pick because we went out and we got that D-line. Now, me and you, we were debating a couple days ago talking about this, and I'm kind of happy the way that like you're talking about it now, saying like, If he doesn't be a Pro Bowler, if he's not a starter for 6, 7, 10 years, then he's a bust. Totally understand that with this pick. Before, dude, I was concerned that you weren't understanding how lethal that this man can be.
Well, he has to be lethal.
Yeah, and I think he's going to. And I think the part that everyone's kind of forgetting about is how good this defense is going to be when he's able to pin that ball five within 10 yards nearly every single time he gets that opportunity, and that defense is coming out, man. It's going to be so hard for the opposing offense to go 95 yards down the field against that Bears defense. And we're getting a rookie quarterback. It's not like Caleb's going to come in and this entire offense is going to be scoring play after play. We're never going to need a punter. I promise you that's not going to be the case.
You know,
there's going to be so many times where Taylor's going to just do a fantastic job. We're going to have an ugly offensive possession. Might be a 3-4 and out, whatever. Punt the ball, and it all of a sudden, we're right there because the punt was excellent. They're pinned back. Our defense is coming out, and all of a sudden, Caleb's going to get the ball on the 50-yard line. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see, though. But I understand your point on if this dude doesn't come out and he is not all this hype, what he's supposed to be, it's a complete bust. I get that. And honestly, I think we could have drafted him in the 5th round. But I'm on the side that I kind of like it. And I know a lot of people here aren't really in favor of it, but I do like it.
There's just, I mean, there's so many guys. You find these guys everywhere. You find them all the time. And it's something I would not, especially when you have limited draft capital. Like, you went into, you ended up with 5 guys, but
that's
you went.
What, and that's why I was confused at first, for sure. Like, before we traded to get Booker, I was like, what are we doing? And then I understand the pick. Watch this dude in college, man. He is a unicorn. And hopefully he continues that because we need it.
And we've seen special teams guys flop once they get to the NFL. So there's a lot of pressure riding on that pick right there. All right, that's going to do it for us. If you missed anything, check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. The CDGA Golf Show coming up next here on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.